Amen. And he said, "Where I am, you shall be also. And I will come to take you where I am." And he came to make a way for us because we can't get there any other way but through him. Thank you, Tom. It's beautiful. It's a wonderful song. It's so some of you were surprised to see me here early today. Somebody much wiser than me said, "You shouldn't preach Sunday." And I went, "I got to preach Sunday." "Well, hey, don't go to Jersey. Just stay in Philadelphia." So that wiser person is my wife. So I said, "All right, I'll stay in Philadelphia. I won't run back and forth, you know." But I'm sure she's right. I wasn't feeling good last week. It ended up being shingles, and I'm in a lot of pain. I'm not contagious to anybody that's had chicken pox or obviously shingles, because you only can get it if you had chicken pox or if you had the vaccines or any of that. But I'm also really not contagious unless you like coming. I'm not hugging anybody. I'm not getting, you know, so we'll pray from afar and anything. But it's not fun. If you ever had them, you know. Yeah, and the bad part is I think I'm unfortunately getting used to the pain a little bit. I don't like that. But anyhow, but by God's grace, we're here today, this morning, and we have this opportunity to worship together. You see there's no screen behind me. We planned and actually had the gentleman in to buy a brand new projector, and this one I think heard us talking and decided just to die. So he said, "You're giving up on me, so I'm out of here." So it should be in this week. So Lord willing, by Sunday we'll have the brand new projector, which will be this one because it's had some age to it, and the lumen quality, level was not going to be as high as the next one. You know, you see, we can show videos, but they're never super sharp. This one, we should be able to do full movies and everything, so we'll be able to do a lot more with the video. I know it's one of those things. We don't need it. In fact, today I'm kind of looking forward to saying, "Open your Bibles and get them out," you know, because we project. But it's nice to have. It's a good tool. You know, it's not just for the words and for the scripture verses, which are important, but sometimes we like to show some video clips, and maybe we'll have opportunities now that we have a better projector to show movies and so forth, you know, during the week, different things we could do with it. So that should be in this week, along with, Grace will be happy to hear this, because she was right. This speaker was going on and off. That's why sometimes you were hearing me better than other times. And you said to me, "Why do I hear you today? But I don't hear you." It was going on and off. So there's some wiring problem they're going to take care of when they're here. It's on today, but it's lower, but it's on this side today. So they'll take care of that. Plus, we'll have some monitors for the worship team being put up in the back. So we have some enhancements coming. That should hopefully all take place this week. And we want to have it in plenty of time for the joint worship service. Amen? Because that'll be a wonderful thing to have all that working well. A lot of stuff going on. I hope you do join us for the outreaches when they come up. I know we have some time. You're like, "Oh, we have time." I know, but guess what? Summer was just like last week, right? It started, and now we're into the fall season already. So these things come up on us very quickly. So it will be here before you know it. So when Gloria gives the dates, yes, you can go on the website. Yes, you can look on the app and all that stuff. But write them down. Put them on your refrigerator. Save these dates so that you can join us and invite people and look for other opportunities to get together and to serve and so forth. All right? Do you have your Bibles? If you can use your phone, your device, if you just keep it on silent, that's fine. We're not against devices as long as they're not binging and dinging and singing and all that kind of stuff that they can do. I'm going to open your Bibles to Psalm 61. And before we get into the Word, let's pray. Father, thank you for this time, for all that we've experienced so far. Thank you, Lord, for the worship. Lord, thank you for our worship team and thank you for what they do to draw us to that place of lifting our hearts before you in praise. Thank you for our brother who shared that song with us today. Continue to bless him. Lord, and as we have gathered here today and as we have taken time for musical worship, I pray that our hearts are full of worship to you, that we don't just sing songs, but we live our lives in such a way that everything we do is worship unto you. Now, Father, as we take time to open your word, bless it to our hearts. Give us ears to hear. Let our hearts receive it with gladness that it would bear good fruit. In Jesus' name, amen. So, I did also listen to Meg, and I did Bible study just on Zoom this week. Didn't come to the building. We just did it on Zoom, which is great. And you know, a lot of you came on. In fact, some of you come on that haven't usually come on Zoom recently. So I was glad to see you guys again. And I was set up in my mind that I'd be here Sunday, but I was given a time. And then as I realized I would at least be here, I began to just cry out, Lord, you know what we need to hear, Lord. You always know. And it was interesting, the Lord does different ways in which I hear, what scriptures or what messages, that we need to hear. But it's funny, just as I was saying, Lord, like, honey, hear my cry, it just came back to me, hear my cry, O Lord. Hear my cry, O God. So I turned to Psalm 61 and began to read it. And also what happened this week is Meg and I had a couple conversations just regarding the church at large, not just here, but the church, And then also we had some conversations about the church here, the church in New Jersey, and all those different things. And, one of the things that we came to a conclusion regarding that is we want to even be more intentional than we already are of being a church that prays, And to that end, today, at the end of the service, you could leave if you want to, but we're going to spend some time to pray together, okay? So I'll talk more about that as we get to the end of the message. But we, Meg was even saying, we were talking, she said, even as opposed to even having just another night to gather for prayer, we need to even be praying even more than we do on Sundays. And I said, we have not everybody's here today, but we have mostly, the people here today. There's a lot of emptiness here today, so pray for who's not with us today. But, so we're going to make that time, and we'll do that maybe every Sunday or at least, occasionally that we're going to spend time at the end of the service to specifically pray. But as I was just trying to listen to the Lord for the word for today, turn to the psalm, began to read it a couple times. And we don't know at what point in David's life this was written. There's some ideas, pretty valid ones. I'll share, at least one of with us today when it could have been written. But we don't know. But knowing David's life, and by the way, that's what we're studying now on Thursday nights. We're in 1 Samuel. We're actually at the point of David being introduced into the scene. If you know anything at all about David's life, he was a man of highs and lows. He was a man that, started humbly and then ended up being king as God had selected him to be the king over all Israel. He was a man who, did very good things and did some really, really, really bad things. And through all of this, it says that he was a man, though, after God's heart. And sometimes it's hard when you look at David's life to understand that. But from the time he seemed to be a young boy, he was somebody who had a tender heart towards God. And at whatever point in his life this was written, whatever point it was, many think, and I kind of, when I say agree with it, that it may have been written at the time when his son, when David was older, and his son Absalom led a rebellion against him. And David, instead of having a civil war right at Jerusalem and fighting against his son, he actually left Jerusalem for a time until God straightened that whole thing out and David came back and, his son was eventually killed in battle. But, a lot of people think it was during that time. But whatever time it was, here's David crying out to God again. Do you love the Psalms? Almost everyone that I know who loves the Bible always says Psalms are one of their favorite part. And I always believe it's because Psalms, on one hand, speak to the human condition, the human emotion, the highs and the lows and all that has to be, crying out to God, but then also God answering. So many times you hear the psalmist, whether it's David or others, crying out to God in their anguish and in their pain and their sorrow, or even in their joy, whatever it might be, and then, coming before God and then God responding. David, at whatever point in his life, which I'm sure was more than once, said these words, "Hear my cry, O God. Hear me, God." And it's interesting David understood something that I believe everybody here understands, that God being God hears all prayer. He does. He's God. But we understand also that the promise, and Tom talked about promises a little while ago, the promise to the church is that God responds to the prayers of his children. God being omniscient and omnipresent and all those things, he hears everything. I mean, how he does it, that's God. It's way above our ability to understand. So God understood that when David cried out, that God would hear him. And that's good. He understood. He says, hey, God, hear my prayer. Hear it. But he also says something else, which I think is very important. Not just hear me, God, attend to my prayer. Somebody once said that many people pray, but only those true believers with that faith wait on God to answer and expect God to answer. See, God, hear me. Yeah, that's great. And many times we want God to hear us, but we don't want to hear God. True? God, hear my prayer because I want what I want, the way I want it, you know, all that stuff. And then we're not necessarily listening to God to attend to our prayer and to speak to us. David says, listen, hear my cry, O God, but attend to my prayer. Do something. I expect it. I pull this quote, I'll just read it quickly. Pharisees may rest in their prayers. True believers are eager for an answer to them. We're eager. We want to hear from God. If we really believe that God is sovereign and he is our God, then we want, when we cry out to him, to hear his voice, to feel his presence, to know his desires and his will for us in our life. And he goes on, from the end of the earth I will cry to you. Now, I believe this is somewhat, now, you know, we believe the Bible is literal. It says what it says, means what it means, but sometimes it uses figurative speech in it. And I believe that David is not necessarily saying, hey, God, you know what, I traveled to the farthest part of the earth away from Jerusalem. Can you still hear me? Though we know the Bible says, David said, you know, wherever I go, well, I can never flee from your presence. But he's not saying that. He's saying, I've come to the end of it. I've come to the end of myself. I've come to the end of all things. You know, I from the end of the earth, I'm going to cry to you. For my heart is overwhelmed. See, he did not turn around and say, God, I will go far and testing you. You know, can you hear me now, God? Can you hear me now, God? He says, no, when I go there, when I cry, I believe that you can hear me. But Lord, when I'm crying to you, it's because I've come to the end of who I am, the end of myself, the end of my abilities. And I'm overwhelmed. Just so I can make sure you're listening, you can indulge me. Raise your hand if you've ever been overwhelmed in your life. Ever. Just once? Ever been overwhelmed? Surprises me that many of you raised your hand. That's... See, Father, I'm at the end of my rope, so to speak. I can't go any further. I am overwhelmed. But I'm crying to you, and I believe you will attend to my prayer. You will hear me, and you will answer me. I trust you enough. I believe that. I have confidence in you. John says in his epistle that it's the confidence that we have that when we pray, he hears us. And if we pray according to his will, he answers the prayers that we pray. It's confidence. That's what I believe David is exuding here. Confidence. God, hear my prayer. Hear my cry. I'm desperate. In fact, you know, some translations or you know, some of the original language says, you know, I'm wailing. Hear my wail, O God. I am desperate because I have reached the end of myself and I am overwhelmed. Now think about this also. if this was at the time of David's life when he was a king, he's at the epitome of human strength, right? I'm the king. I have all the resources. But I'm still at the end of my rope. I'm at the end of my rope. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. See, when my heart is overwhelmed, Lord, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. David knew he needed something to stabilize him, someone to stabilize him. He knew that left to his own devices, he was going to be shipwrecked and he'd go down for the count. He would sink to the depths. But he says, no, I need a place of stability. I need the rock, not just any old rock, because David, you know, was a pretty resourceful guy. And he says, well, you know, I can handle a lot of things on my own, but I need a rock that's higher than me. I need somewhere greater than the army that you've given me to fight with me, greater than all the people of Israel, greater than whatever else is going on. I need something higher than this, higher than I, higher than everything that I have. I need that type of rock. Someone above myself, greater than myself, greater than my abilities. I can't get a firm footing anymore because I'm being tossed. I'm overwhelmed. I'm losing it big time. But if I call to you, I'm asking you to lead me to that rock. This word overwhelmed is interesting. It's the same word that is translated in Jonah chapter 2, you know, where it's like faints, like I'm just got done. You know what I mean? Like depressed, exhausted. Even, in fact, if you want to read Psalm 102 tonight, which actually talks about this in a little bit more, you can read that later. You know, this idea of just being completely wiped out. Lead me to the rock. You know, I like the fact that he knows that he needs someone bigger than himself. But he also knows that he can't get there on his own. That's why he says, lead me. Father, I'm going down. Grab my hand. Father, I'm lost. Shine the light on my circumstances. Lead me to that place that I need to go. I can't get there unless you show me the way. I can't get there unless you grab me by the hand and take me to that place where I need to go. Lead me to that rock. Lead me to that one that is higher than I. Now, it's interesting, you know, in Scripture, you guys know this, and if you don't, you'll hear it now, that a rock many times is used as a symbol of strength. You know, I'm wiped out, I'm overwhelmed, I'm fainting, I'm depressed, I'm going down for the count, but Lord, I need strength. Lead me to that place of strength. Lead me to that place of strength. I have reached, as a king, the top of the ladder, and that's not high enough. How many times do you and I trust on our own resources, our own abilities, our own strength, our own, you know, even wherewithal to get through a situation, and we just try it so many times, and we work on our own steam instead of coming out and crying to the one that is higher than us? You say, well, how do we know he's talking about God? Well, it's fairly self-explanatory within the context, but think about this also. It says in the Bible many places, but one in particular, say in Deuteronomy chapter 32. You could turn there if you'd like. I'm going to actually get you to use your Bible. Say, it's not on the screen. You actually have to flip your Bible. That's cool. Old school. I remember, I guess I was pastor at the time. It was a long time ago. Yeah, it was before I was pastor. Do you remember when we had the how many of you are old enough to remember the 36-inch blizzard in 96, I think it was? Yeah, I think I became pastor the next year. Do you remember that one? Do you remember when you would walk outside, you were walking like the cars were here and you were walking past the car there? Well, I had church that night. And it was dark. And we didn't have lights. And spelt. 15 to 20 brave souls came out with us, you know, that night. And it was like, hey, do you have your Bibles and a flashlight? See, we've already the screens down. I mean, we got still have the lights on. Turn your Bibles and look at your flashlight. We didn't have our cell phones or flashlight. We were passing out little like things. It was crazy. It was dumb. But anyway, I digress, you know. But to open your Bibles to Deuteronomy 32. Gloria, for us, read verse 4. Speaking, Moses speaking of God, Jehovah. He is our rock. He is our rock. Do you remember when they had no water in the desert and they wanted to stone Moses again? Right? Speak to the rock. Hit the rock first time, then speak to the rock. He was the rock. He is our rock. He is higher than us. God is so superior that we have no idea of God's unlimited power. It's limitless. It's amazing. His thoughts, his ways are so far above our ways. We can't even imagine how great our God is. In fact, our God, I always chuckle when I think about, you know, I'm a doctor, not me, I'm not, but, you know, someone said, I'm a doctor of theology, and, you know, I study God, and that's great. You can't study God. He's unknowable. We only can study what he's revealed to us about himself, amen? And that's great. If you've studied that and you have your doctor, that's wonderful. I'm not making fun of that. My point is, though, who can know God? He's our rock, though. He's our strength. He is so much higher than we are. Turn to 1 Corinthians. Oh, I like this. It's almost like I'm doing Bible study. Everybody's bending down. They're flipping their pages. I like it. We want to do this all the time. Cancel the order for the projector. Save the money. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Donna, you want to read this line nice and loud, verse 4? Same thing, verse 4 again. Huh? That's okay. It's all right. We won't hold that against you. Verse 4, 1 Corinthians 10, verse 4. Can you see it? That's fine. That'll work. Who is that rock? Jesus, the Christ. See, we could never get to God, the rock, the higher than us, because of what? Our sin. You know that, right? He created us, sinless, perfect, put us in a perfect environment. You know that story. It's a real. I read some dumb article this week. That all this, we have proven the Genesis, these are supposedly Christian guys, we have proved that Genesis is not a real reflection of the real story, it's just an example. I said, oh, stop with that nonsense. God, the rock, the creator of all things, spoke us into existence, spoke this whole rock planet that we have into existence, put us, man, in that garden because he desired in some way to have us fellowship with him eternally, which again blows my mind away why he would want that, but that's what his desire was. And you know the story that he said, here, kids, enjoy it. This is yours. I made it for you. Just don't eat of the one tree in the middle of the garden. And of course, what do? They go eat of the tree in the middle of the garden, and that's disobedience against God. That's sin. And sin came into the world, and death came by sin, and separation from God occurred because of the sin of man. And here we are. Yes, you could write me letters later, but 6,000 or so years later, we're not only 6,000. Yeah, I believe that the Bible is 6,000 years. We're in that neighborhood. Still dealing with the sin issue. Lead me to the rock, but wait. We can't get back to the rock because it's too high for us to attain because of our sin. And God sent his son. He's himself. Jesus, who is God, there's only one God, but but God himself, second person of the Trinity, became flesh. And he came to this earth, and he did not come to make a statement. He didn't come just to be a great teacher or healer or prophet or philosopher. He came to die, to take our sin upon himself, the sin of mankind upon himself. And he did just that. He laid down his life on the cross. Somewhere during the time of the cross, the one who knew no sin, the sinless, perfect Lamb of God, became sin. And as he was on the cross, he received the payment in full for that sin, our sin, that we might have then the righteousness of God in us through him. If you would confess your sin, you repent of your sin, and you believe in faith that Jesus is the Messiah, your Savior, you're saved by that faith in him, by the grace of God that's through faith. And Jesus is that rock. Lord, lead us to that rock that is higher than I. We have access to the Father because of what Jesus did. David understood that to a degree by faith. You know, they didn't have that relationship that we can have today. You know, they were saved by God's grace, but it was looking forward to the cross. You know, but we know we have Christ today, who is that rock. He is that rock that is higher than us. He is the rock, like the rock that Moses was referring to in the desert, that refreshed them, that kept them out of trouble, kept them from dying. Jesus is the only one that can keep us from not only physical death, which he does at times and provides for us in ways that are amazing, but of course he came to give us eternal life, to save us from eternal death. For you, verse 3, have been a shelter for me, a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in your tabernacle forever. I will trust in the shelter of your wings, Selah. You have been a shelter for me, a strong tower. David knew that God was his rock, that when he was a young boy, when he was a shepherd, that many times in the field he was all alone, and one time a bear came for the flock and he fought the bear and beat the bear, and one time a lion came and he fought the lion and beat the lion, because he knew God was with him. He couldn't do that in his own strength. He knew that later in his life, when he was still a young man, there was the big giant that was threatening the armies of Israel, saying, "Who would come against me? Send me your best. If he beats me, we'll be your slaves. If I beat him, then you will serve us." And David said, "Who is that uncircumcised Philistine that would come against the armies of God?" And when everybody else quaked in their boots, so to speak, David went out. Not even with Saul's armor, which he said, "I can't fit and can't use this." He went out with a sling and the stones, and it only took one to bring the giant down. David said, "You've been with me before, God. You will be with me now." Whatever trouble he was going through, and I'm so glad the Holy Spirit saw fit not to tell us exactly what David's issue was right now, because then we would look at it as being the only issue that God answers. Do you understand that? Just like Paul's thorn in the side. What was it? Don't need to know. He know that when you're weak, he is strong. Whatever David was going through, God has the strength. He is your rock. He is the rock that is higher than you. He is the one that has been your shelter. He is the one that will continue to be your shelter. He is your strong tower. He will keep you from the enemy and the desires of the enemy to destroy you. So will you trust in him? Would you trust in him in the shadow of his wings? Jesus, when he came to Israel, when he knew they were going to reject him, he said, he cried and he wept. He says, "How I want to gather you as a hen gathers the chicks under their wings." That's God's desire for us. You know, he wants to save us, but he also wants now to take care of us and help us to continue to abide in him. If you've trusted Jesus for your salvation, let me ask you a question. Why are you now trying to live the rest of this life in your own strength and power? Why? You couldn't save yourself. You can't keep yourself. And you sure can't handle all your issues, because you can. We're just flesh. And even if you can get to you and handle most of your issues, I want to tell you, you're going to get very weary and you're only going to be able to go so far. God allows these things in our life for something of eternal value to take place. Maybe not only for us, but maybe for people around us who watch as we go through things, how we trust him, our high tower, our shelter, our strength. And if he's done it before, he'll continue to do it again. Because he promised, as Tom said, to never leave us nor forsake us. He's with us always. Even to the point when he says, I will come to take you with me, that where I am, you will be also. You say, well, I don't know where that is. That's why he sent the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us into all truth. Lead me to that rock that is higher than I. Today, I ask the Holy Spirit who's working in us, who lives within us, who is here this morning. Lord, lead us to that rock that is higher than us. Lead us to that place that sometimes we forget we need to go to. Lead us to that place where we remember your promises and remember how you've done these things in the past. And here we are wallowing in all of our overwhelmedness. I just made that word up. Just all our overwhelmedness. Oh, God. And finally we cry. Don't wait till you're completely overwhelmed. Cry to him. Cry out all the time to him. For yourself, for your family, for this world, this country that's in such bad shape right now. For the world. I mean, look, I read this book a time or two, and I understand what's going to come upon the earth, and most of you do too. Could we be of that generation? Yeah, maybe, maybe not. But it doesn't matter. In the meantime, whatever state we're in, Lord, there's people, lives hanging in the balance. There's souls that have not yet come into the kingdom. There's a church that you said was going to become lukewarm and sleepy in the last days. Lord, if that's part of us, Lord, let it not be me. Lord, revive us. Lord, let's make sure our lamps are full. Lord, help us today to cry out in all the midst of all these things. We seem so overwhelmed. It seems like, Lord, the church has lost its voice. And Lord, we've done it. We've kept quiet when we shouldn't have kept quiet. But Lord, lead us now to the rock that is higher than I. We're crying out to you. Even as we're completely overwhelmed. For you, O God, have heard my vows. You have given me the heritage of those who fear your name. You will prolong the king's life, his years as many generations. He shall abide before God forever. Oh, prepare mercy and truth which may preserve him. As I said before, God does hear and answer our prayer. He promised so. The question is, are you praying as you ought to? I know you all pray. I know that. But are you praying with the heart of God? Are you praying as directed by the Holy Spirit? Are we praying for things that the Lord would put on upon our hearts to be praying for now? Because it's so easy to have your prayers just become rote repetition. Even if you mean them and you don't want it to be, it's easy just to pray that. I just pray my kind of Luke prayers and the same people I pray for. But Lord Jesus, you said that we don't know how to pray for as we ought to. Are you allowing the Holy Spirit to pray through you? Are you allowing the Holy Spirit to empower your prayer life? Are you allowing the Holy Spirit to illuminate your heart and minds, to put situations and people and things upon your heart that we can cry out to God who hears our prayer? Because we have been given a heritage of prayer. That's the saints throughout the ages. That's the Lord Jesus Christ himself who prayed for us and is still making intercession for us at the right hand of the Father. We are called to be people of prayer. Jesus demonstrated while he was on this earth that he was a man of prayer when he became the flesh, when he became the man Christ Jesus. He was a man of prayer. How much more do we need to be men and women of prayer? We have a heritage, a godly heritage of prayer. Have we forgotten about it? Have we gotten tired because we've been praying in our own strength? I'm just tired of praying. I'm just tired not hearing an answer. Well, maybe you have to say, Lord, am I praying as I ought? Am I praying the way you would have me to pray? Am I praying in my power or your power? So, Lord, we ask. We don't know how many generations are left. It doesn't matter. We're here for such a time as this. And for those who come into the kingdom of God, they will have eternal generations with him. See, if you're only praying for the here and now, you're not praying as you ought to. It's, Lord, how can these situations now bring someone to a knowledge of you? How can the circumstances in my life, as I cry out to you, someone can see you in me and ask me for the reason of hope that is in me, that I can tell them about you, and that, Lord, as I pray for them, they would receive forgiveness and be born into your family. And then they would be preserved eternally. See, David didn't understand that in the same way we did, but he knew the same principle, that God is the only one that can do these things. He knew as a king, he was mortal, he was powerless to keep his life, but God sustained my life. God continued to work in my life. Lord, many generations, he was praying for his ancestors all the way down. In fact, we know that Jesus came through the house of David. And then he's the one that will preserve us ultimately. David, understanding this, says, I am now going to sing your praises, or I'm going to praise your name forever, that I might daily perform my vows or the things I have to do. Does that describe your desire to pray? Is that the passion by which you go before the throne of grace and mercy? Or has your prayer life gotten dull? Has it gotten routine? This word is challenging to me. I hope it's challenging to you today. And with that in mind, I want us to pray. I'm going to ask our worship team to come up. I'm going to ask that they play, I don't know what song they have, which Joe will inform us in a moment. Rock of Ages, okay. But as we conclude in song, I'm going to ask you, if you would, to stay here, and I want us to just pray. You're welcome to pray in the pew. You can come on up and pray around the platform. It's up to you. You can join hands with one another. But here's what I would like us to pray about. Father, we heard a message today about how much we need you. And how, Lord God, we need to be crying out to you. And in our crying out to you, O God, we're asking you to not only hear our prayer, but answer the prayer. In fact, Father, we are going to admit that we ourselves, as your church, have all these advantages you've given us, but Lord, many of us have forgotten who we are in Christ and what we've been left here to do. And we're going to cry out to you, Lord, because we have become overwhelmed. We pray for the state of the church. Yes, worldwide, but we pray for the state of the church right here, as it's called out in 11th Street. We pray for the church that we have over in New Jersey in their hearts. We pray, Lord God, that instead of being overwhelmed, we would come and cry out to you and say, attend to our prayer, Father, to revive us in these days in which we live. To awaken us from our slumber. That we would have hearts that would be hearts of repentance. That would recognize not only the sin of the church, but our sin in this. Yes, you've cleansed us from all unrighteousness, but Father, you told us that we need to confess our sins, knowing you're faithful and just to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And whatever it is within us that has cooled us down, Lord God, we don't want to be lukewarm anymore, personally or corporately. So Lord, light the fire in us today. As we repent, as we come before you, attend to our prayer today and revive your church. Revive me, oh Lord. And through that, would we shout not only praises to you for all eternity, which you are worthy of that, but Lord, would our life be a life that is contagious, that others would see you in me And I would have a desire that all men and all women and all boys and all girls would know you, and I am here to serve you as I serve others. Revive me, O Lord. That's what I'd like us to pray about today. So let's stand and sing this song, but then after we're finished, we'll spend some time in prayer. And again, you can stay as long as you like, or you can leave whenever you have to. We're not going to officially close the service that way today, but let's just spend some time in prayer. Amen? Let's stand and sing a song that we know well, most of us.